You are listening to Adventures Within with Jennifer Moon and Robert Watkins. Adventures Within is brought to you by Faction 2 of The Revolution in partnership with Kaechung Radio. Faction 2 of The Revolution is committed to creating alternatives to the established orders of both the bourgeois culture of the fine art world and the spectacle arena of representations that constitute popular culture, in order to stimulate a new society that is both socially aware and politically motivated. Adventures Within is fervent in its mission to heighten awareness in and of the personal and private realms in order to realize and sustain political action. The segregation of the personal and the political, the public and the private, the individual and the populace, are no longer expansive. This is Adventures Within.
Good evening, fellow adventurers. Welcome to another episode of Adventures Within with me, Jennifer Moon, and Robert Watkins. That was Robert doing the intro. So I think the last episode I mentioned that I was going to talk about magic and faith, but I decided that's kind of like advanced stuff so that I'm going to have to like build up to. So instead, I'm going to talk about adventuring within. The show itself, and also the process of adventuring within, specifically adventuring within my judgments of others. And that's actually talked about in detail in the Revolution Approved booklet, Definition of Abundance, Principle 1 of the Revolution. There's a chapter called How to Operate from a Place of Abundance. And a lot of that is focused on being aware of how I perceive others, because that will clue me into what's going on inside of me. And here, I'll just quote something from page 20 of Definition of Abundance. The way in which you judge yourself can be indistinct. It often occurs involuntarily under many layers and in many disguises without your recognition or consent. Therefore, an excellent guide to figure out how you judge yourself is to become hyper aware of how you judge others, because the things you judge so harshly in others are essentially the things you judge so harshly in yourself. So recently, actually very recently, after the last broadcast, I really became aware of something about me that I was not necessarily... Either I was like not willing to really accept it, or I don't think I adventured within that, I guess is the best way to say it. What I realized is that when I have this kind of annoying and glaring unexpansive tendency that I engage in, although it wasn't obvious at the time, it is now, and annoying because it's like annoying to me, is that when I'm operating from a place of lack, which is basically when I don't feel enough worthy or of value simply because I exist. One thing that I do is I start to judge how abundant or lacking other people are, or how expansive or unexpansive other people are, in the name of abundance and expansion. So basically, the same things that enlighten me, that bring me to greater awareness, that help me expand and make new connections and deepen my relationships, are also often the same things I use as a weapon or as like a measuring stick to prove that I'm better or more expansive than the next person, and therefore keeping me feeling separate. And it's annoying to me. It's kind of like one of those metaphorical farts that I talked about in the last episode, those things I try to deny and I don't want to admit to. Because I like to believe that I'm not judgmental, you know, that I operate from a place of abundance and I'm expansive. Therefore, you know, expansive people don't judge, so therefore I don't judge. So when I am judging people, I kind of like rationalize that it's just me, you know, taking note, or like just me, you know, researching for the revolution or something. But that's kind of like all bullshit because it's really I am like judging people, or I'm placing people on a hierarchy where I'm ultimately at the top. You know, I'm the most expansive and these people are not as expansive. It's kind of similar to when people say like, I just feel sorry for that person. It's like a way of dismissing the person and judging the person, and also like not, it like kind of ends there. It's like, oh, I feel sorry for that person, the end. There's no adventuring within, there's nothing, it's over. So that's kind of the something that I was doing. And you know, that's the thing about operating from a place of abundance. It's not like a one-time deal and now I'll always be operating from a place of abundance. It's a constant, never-ending adventuring within to notice when I'm operating from a place of abundance and when I'm operating from a place of lack. And either way is okay. It's not like one's wrong or one's right. It's more about me being aware so that I then understand why things are happening the way they are and why I make certain decisions or why I'm feeling a certain way, et cetera, et cetera. So one thing that I like to do is I like to use, I'm a fan of Foucault, and he has these principles to the art of living counter to all forms of fascism. And it can be found in the preface of Deleuze and Guattari's Anti-Oedipus. And two of my favorite principles to the art of living counter to all forms of fascism are, the first one is, do not use thought to ground a political practice in truth, nor political action to discredit as mere speculation a line of thought. Use political practice as an intensifier of thought and analysis as a multiplier of the forms and domains for the intervention of political action. So basically he's saying don't like, that is not considered political action to point out all the wrongs of the world, and that instead use your energy to create things instead. So I love that. The second one is do not think that one has to be sad in order to be militant, even though the thing one is fighting is abominable. It is a connection of desire to reality and not its retreat into the forms of representation that possesses revolutionary force. So those are like my two favorite like Foucault quotes, and like, and I totally like believe in them and I think they're great. And the funny thing is that sometimes I use those things, which are supposed to be principles to the art of like not, you know, being a fascist. So I then use those to kind of be a fascist. You know, like I use them to kind of like point out how people are to myself. You know, but under the guise of like, oh, I'm just researching. Like how this person is operating from a place of lack, or this person is, you know, obviously thinks he has to be sad in order to be militant. You know, stuff like that. And one way that I have learned to kind of be aware of all this is to pay attention to how I relate to Facebook. Because Facebook to me is like a good barometer to gauge what's going on inside of me, because there can be like a lot of judgment going on. So after, like when I was working on the first show and after the broadcast, I was feeling like I was not very happy with it. I was not happy with my performance, and I felt really uncomfortable and uneasy about it. And I noticed that I was getting increasingly annoyed with the things I saw on Facebook. One of them, okay, before I go into what I was getting annoyed about, I just want to clarify that my judgments, my perception of other people are not about the other person. So when I'm talking, you might think I'm talking about you, but I'm really not. And I'll give you an example. When I am feeling like operating from a place of lack, specifically when I'm not feeling good about my body, like my physical body and the way my physical appearance, I'll see a picture of a girl in a bikini and my immediate reaction would be like, oh, this person is obviously operating from a place of lack. She really needs attention and, you know, isn't that sad kind of thing. However, if I feel good about myself, that same exact fucking picture would instead, I would be like, oh my God, she's beautiful. And like the ease and comfort she is within her body is like inspiring and beautiful, which it really is. And it's the same fucking picture. It's the same fucking person. Nothing has changed. It's me that has changed. You know, it's like the same picture can stimulate the first one or the latter, depending on how I feel about myself. So, you know, so when I talk about these things, I'm not talking about a person in particular. It's all about me, and I'll get to that in a second. So one of the things that was really annoying me was all these inspirational memes that are of plenty, at least on my newsfeed. And, you know, they're like quotes from Gandhi or the Dalai Lama or Eckhart Tolle, or they're like just anonymous quotes about like overcoming fear and love, which I totally love and all the stuff I totally believe in, but they were like starting to really annoy me to the point where I was like, this person's a motherfucking liar. It's all a representation. I don't believe you. And I was like really honing in on that one principle about like, don't retreat into forms of representation. And so I became like hyper aware of like, oh my God, it's a representation. Everything's a representation. And the second thing that I started getting annoyed with are like, you know, a post about like pointing out the wrongs of the world and like all the evils of Republicans and Mitt Romney and da da da. And I'm like, oh, this person, you know, he's using his political practice to discredit a line of thought. So like, these are the types of things that were going on. I was getting like really annoyed. The good thing about all this is that I've been doing this kind of work long enough that I know that when I get annoyed or resentful or jealous or, you know, all these, any number of those uncomfortable feelings, I know that I need to adventure within. And so that's what I did. I adventured within, and, you know, lo and behold, all the shit that I was saying about these other people, it was directed at me. Because I, you know, like after the first broadcast of the show, I didn't really know why I was feeling uneasy about it or like just like icky. But it was because like I was afraid that it was a representation. Like it's just all a representation, and I'm a representation, and like what's the point? And then I very quickly go into like, oh, it's all futile, and what's the point? And then the other thing that I have a fear of is that I have a fear that like, secretly, like I'm a fascist, like a jolly fascist, but like a fascist nonetheless. Or like probably more like frightening to me would be like if I was like I'm a closeted libertarian or something. And so I sometimes am like very cautious to say what I believe in a very with a conviction. So all this was going on, and of course I was, you know, seeing it. I became hyper aware of seeing it in other people, which then tells me that's what's going on inside of me. So then I was able to adventure within, and then find out all this stuff about me, and I was able to then focus my attention on that and give love and compassion to myself, and you know, and decide that you know I'm allowed to take a stand and not apologize for it. You know, this show is my venue. I'm giving myself permission to have this show be my venue to have an agenda. And it's an agenda for revolution, you know, a revolution that functions to provide for everyone's survival needs that so that we can all continuously expand together, so we can achieve things beyond our current imagination, because I believe we can only accomplish the impossible if we work together. And I truly believe the only way that people can genuinely be of service to others and the world, to be truly selfless or without ego or operate from a place of abundance, is if they at first are of service to themselves, which is what adventuring within is all about. Adventuring within is about learning to love. I feel like I have to burp, sorry. Okay, adventuring within and learning to, I should like, breathe. Adventuring within and learning to love all those uncomfortable feelings, which lead you to uncover all your buried beliefs and these are the beliefs that prevent you from truly connecting with others and the world. And that is truly, I believe, the only way to enable a revolution, like a true lasting revolution that will lead to the continuous expansion of all on this earth and beyond. So I, you know, and I really believe that. So there. okay. So the last thing I'm going to talk about before we get into the music is adventuring within is intended to own, like adventuring within is for me to adventure within myself. I've gone through this, so I know this is okay. I believe there's kind of like a stage that, like, when once people get to a certain level of awareness or they become enlightened, then all of a sudden, and I know this because this happened to me. This is what I did. All of a sudden, I want to tell people what to do. You know, like how to be expansive or how to, you know, and that's not always. You know, people don't like that. So I'm gonna tell you a story of what happens when you adventure within someone else without an invitation. And I'm going to tell that story of that of the girl that I had that obsessive crush on, that I was going to tell on the last episode, but I didn't. But it's in a different context. I was going to tell it within the context of my struggles with Eros and Agape, but now it's kind of more like a cautionary tale. So I, you know, I had a crush on this girl, and I thought I was in love with her. She didn't feel the same way, so I devised this whole like project to like manipulate her into my house so that I can seduce her. That's essentially what it was, but it wasn't. That's not what it how I presented it, of course. And you know, she agreed to do it. The week of the photo shoot, we had. And this is very unusual because usually when she would talk to me, it looked like she was in pain. So like she initiated a Facebook chat with me. We chatted for 2.5 hours. And it was like magical and wonderful for me. You know, it was totally like the stuff romantic comedies were made out of, or are made of. And it was great for me. The next day she texted me and said, things are too much and she can't do the photo shoot. So of course I was devastated. And my response to that was to write her a 3,000-word email all about self-love and identifying her issues and what she needs to do to bring love to herself. And that same evening that I sent the email, her response was to post a Facebook status update that said, all in caps, psycho and stalkerish women, leave me alone. I will not fucking sleep with you ever. Spelled with 8 R's and followed by 10 exclamation points. So that's, you know, that's, people don't really like it when you adventure within them without an invitation. That's kind of what happens. And you know, the other funny thing about that is that like, I assumed she was talking to me. She didn't say like, Jennifer Moon, you know, I'm talking to you, you're a psycho and stalkerish. I just assumed that, and the reason why I assumed that is because I have that issue in me. You know, I have this fear of being a psycho and a stalker. So of course, I'm gonna like grab onto that and think she's talking to me. I mean, she probably was talking to me, but you know, like, it's just funny that I just assumed she was talking to me. That email that I sent her became another one of those metaphorical farts, you know, because because I was so hurt and felt so much rejection, and when I read that status update, I sent her another message saying like I gave you a fucking gift. You know, this is a golden gift and I can't believe you're not accepting it. You know, totally, I really believed at that moment that I was like helping her, that it came from like an altruistic place of like me wanting to help her, you know? And you know, I could not, it was like that fart, like I could not admit to it. And it wasn't until after that I realized that like, that was all, I was not trying to help her. I was trying to help myself, you know, into her like, you know, into her pants maybe, you know, by thinking like, okay, well maybe I can be like her, you know, I can help her and, you know, then maybe, she, you know, I can get into her life somehow. So yeah. And the thing with adventuring within someone else without an invitation, which Michael Blomsterberg would call unsolicited advice, and to quote Mike, you know, unsolicited advice is abusive. And I have really, you know, I believe that because I mean, I know I've been, people have tried to give me unsolicited advice and it doesn't, certainly doesn't feel good. It does feel like I'm being like, kind of like bludgeoned or something. So, when I find myself wanting to give unsolicited advice, it's usually because of one of the three reasons, the following three reasons. First one is I'm trying to prove that I'm right, which has nothing to do with helping the other person. So in that way, it's abusive. Like I'm using it kind of, my advice is like a weapon to prove that I'm right. The second reason would be that I have ulterior motives, like I'm trying to get laid, which, by the way, giving unsolicited advice is a guaranteed way to never get laid ever. Like, that shit is not a turn on. People don't like that. And the third most important thing is that when I have an overwhelming urge to give unsolicited advice, that advice is meant for me. So now I know, like, when I feel this urge, like, I gotta tell this person what to do, da da, I know now to stop and be like, okay, what is it that I'm really desperately wanting to tell this person, and how does it apply to me? So that's about it. That's about all the time I have for the talky-talky section. Oh, I'm glad that part is over. I was, like, really nervous today. But now it's time for, like, my favorite part of the show, which is the song we sing together. And tonight's song we sing together is Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. So if you're by a computer, go ahead and Google the lyrics so you can sing along. And also, the lyrics for the song we sing together are always posted on the Adventures Within K-Chung Tumblr at adventureswithin.kchungradio.org. And it's on there right now if you want to go read the lyrics off of the Tumblr. So that's adventureswithin.kchungradio.org. Okay, are you going to sing with me, Solomon?
I don't know. John's going to sing.
Okay, John. Okay, I felt like I told you this right now, but I don't know, because this is my fear. My fear is that it's going to become the song Jennifer Moon sings, and it's not the song that we sing together. So,
here he comes.
Oh, good. John, are you going to sing with me?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Man in the Mirror.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here's the lyrics, and then will you cue up the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, you guys ready? You guys got the lyrics ready? You want to come over here?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll come whenever you want.
All right. Yay. This is, like, such a good song, and it's so pertinent to the show's topic.
Nice.
Okay. So tell me when I can start.
I'll just start it whenever.
Okay.
I don't want that.
Oh, you don't? Okay, that's okay. It's not about knowing it. It's about being.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turned up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids on the street without enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their need? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why I want you to know I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways, and no, you wanna make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. I've been a victim of a selfish kind of love. It's time that I realize there's some with no home, not a nickel to loan. Could it be really me pretending that they're not alone? A willow deeply scarred, somebody's broken heart, and a washed out dream. They follow the pattern of the wind, you see, 'cause they got no place to be. That's why I'm starting with me. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. Woo! Starting with the man in the mirror.
God, I love that song. It's so good. Thank you for singing with me.
That was fun.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. What's that? What's that echoing? Is that normal?
It's just normal.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. So that's it for my segment of the show. Next up is Robert's Playlist. And tonight on Robert's Playlist, he's going to feature a radio premiere of Shannon and the Clams' new single, Ozma. Check out a delightful video interviewing Shannon and the Clams posted on the Adventures Within Tumblr at adventureswithin.kchungradio.org. You can also find a complete list of all the music played tonight, as well as links to websites featuring the bands we play and places to purchase their music on Robert's website at robertdwatkins.com under links, and then Adventures Within is the second link listed. So next month, my friend Kelly Jo Camp will be coming in to guest co-host the show. And I think we're planning on talking about like earnestness and sincerity versus irony and sarcasm, though that could totally change. But either way, Kelly Jo Camp is definitely gonna be coming in and is definitely gonna be an adventure. So please come back.
Thank you. Yeah. cliches. How I miss your warmth, but it separates all the things I came here for. I jump in the sea and let the tide take me away. How I want